You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Welcome to the Age of Napoleon. I'm coming to you today with something a bit different. First up, we've got a short interview, which I think you'll find interesting. After the interview, we've got something from fellow French history podcaster Will Clark of Grey History, so stay tuned. Anyway, without further ado, let's dive in. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Absolutely. So my name is David Ceriro, and I am originally an opera singer and actor, and I've been directing and producing theater plays and musicals and opera for nearly 25 years almost now, and also directing and producing films. And as I've been also big passionate of Napoleon. How can you not be passionate of Napoleon, I should say? But, and I played Napoleon himself, Bonaparte, many times on stage. I adapted several works for the stage. I adapted the Kubrick screenplay as a theater play back in 2018, but also I recorded the French correspondence of Napoleon and Josephine, and recorded all his biggest war speeches. And I wrote a play also called I, Napoleon, where Napoleon tells his story to the 2026 audience, basically. And that play was actually Grammy nominated because we did the recording, and the recording was nominated, working on the documentary Napoleon and the Jews. But also for the last, I should say, 5 years now, I also created the Festival Napoleon, Napoleon Festival, but in French we say the Festival Napoleon, in Paris, which celebrates the culture of Napoleon. So he goes through conferences, but also theater plays, films, and all kind of stuff, and conferences that are not like the boring stuff that are really done for the new audience, I should say. And I must really, you know, give you big kudos to you, Everett, for the quality of your podcast. That, first of all, I don't know how you've been doing this, but if you go on any podcast platform and you put Napoleon, like, your podcast comes out first. Like, I don't know how you did this, but I think it's the fact that you have a lot of people who are listening, but also you're being very consistent into doing this. And I really applaud you for this. And I wish French people would do that, you know, but as always, you know, it's my passion for the American people, that they can take something and make it accessible to everyone and make it young and modern again. So I really admire your passion, and I'm so, so, so grateful for the opportunity of being here today on your show. It truly means a lot, because I've listened to your shows, I don't know how many times, but a lot of times.
Well, thank you very much. You're very kind. And, you know, while we're on the subject, the passion for Napoleonic history is something we obviously share. What was the origin for you? Where did it start?
Well, to be honest with you, when we are in school, in any general mainstream school, so in France, we don't have so much like in the US, public and private school, because the public school in France is very, very high standards. You know, it's like very, very big, which is also the case in the US, of course. But it was always, you know, that thing in French schools that you study history. You know, and in history, you study all these big figures of history. And of course, Napoleon is a big part of the French history. But also, we didn't study him just as, okay, he was a person who was at some point the emperor of France from that time to that time. But we study the journey, and we study his legacy. And what did he leave to, not just to France, but to the rest of the world, you know, this kind of stuff. So I was like, wow, this man really is something. And also in France, we have that tradition of kings. You know, we had a lot of kings that started since the Middle Ages almost. So a lot of the kings, etc. And all these kings, they had something in common, like all these being noble is that they came from a noble family. Like they inherited their throne, basically. But Napoleon, he is really the first ever self-made man. This man who started with nothing, who arrived in the lowest grade in the army, and who ended up being the Emperor of France. So, of course, he was very ambitious. Of course, he made his way in. Of course, he arrived at the time that, he was able to play this and this and that, and he was, a brilliant strategist, and he used a lot of people. But, you cannot deny the genius of that person. And finally, the last thing is that, At some point, people say, not when I have my beard, but they said that I look like him a little bit, especially when I was acting, and I said, well, that's a compliment. And then came the idea of digging more into him and perhaps finding a way to portray him on stage,
Yes, that was the number one thing I wanted to ask you. What is it like to try to embody him on the stage and try to, you've even tried to kind of write in his words. Mm. So what is that like to trying to be Napoleon?
First of all, no one can be like him. There is only one, always only one. And also what is difficult and also easy in a way is that we don't have really videos of recordings of him, mm-hmm. It's not the story. If today someone we play in the movie, JFK, by example, so because we have videos, we have audio recordings, we have things like that. So you have to impersonate also a little bit the part. But for Napoleon, we don't have anything. So it's easier in a way, but harder in the other way because you don't know where to start. So what I realized is that I felt, okay, he is a Corsican who arrived in France. So he arrives in what the Corsican call the continent. They call France the continent. So he arrives. So he's a stranger in his own country, in a way. People make fun of him when he is young because they say he had a very Napoleone. He was talking a lot like this, like Corsican, So, but I believe he was a man of extreme ambition, and he was someone who would really, point his finger upward and forward. That's really, if I had to describe him, would be upward and forward. But there is a phrase, there are two phrases that I think of all the time when I play him, is Napoleon, the man who is in a hurry. So everything has to be in a hurry. You see, if I want to talk like Napoleon, I would talk like this, very hurry, like always in a, never searching for his words, unlike myself. Mm-hmm. But, like always like that. And also he accepted to be betrayed, but never to be disappointed. That's a very big actor named Christian Clavier, who played Napoleon in a big series. And actually I did a movie about Christian Clavier, and we did a very, very big chapter in the movie when he spoke about Napoleon. And I give, of course, an award to Christian Clavier when he came at the Festival Napoleon. But he used that phrase. And I believe this was a man who really also loved his country. And you see that sometimes with a lot of leaders who can be a little bit, of the edge a little bit, that you're not sure. Are they good or bad or toxic for the country? But they have one thing, is that they really, really love their country. You see, whatever people can say about Donald Trump, I really believe he loves his country. He's very patriotic. I'm not a Trump supporter, but I'm just saying that this is something that, you can tell. And really, Napoleon really loved France, and also really loved the people of France, and really loved his army. So he was very new in everything, and I believe he knew he had a great star above him. And he said it many times, he had a great star above him that guided him. In any of his correspondence, thank God at least we have that, we were able to discover really who he was, that he was a man of very authority, but also a very big passion. You see the letters he wrote to Josephine, like this is like poetry written in a way that you cannot imagine. So, he's very Shakespearean. You know, he is the most Shakespearean historical figure I've ever met, you know. And I've never met him, but it's really, you have to think about all of that when you're doing that, is that he's, when you're playing him, is that he's a historical figure also. So you have a big responsibility. And in every character, you need to put the great side, but also to show the dark side. Because otherwise, you know, if it's too hot or too cold, it's not good. It has to be right in the middle. So you have to show that, you know, all his problems, but also all his qualities, I believe, you know.
So you've worked on several projects related to Napoleon. How are they received? You know, how does the French public view Napoleon, and how do you approach that public perception?
Well, you know, it's very funny is that everything about Napoleon was really admired by the French, except, you know, the woke culture, you know. And the woke culture, what they try to do is to do something impossible, which is to look at what happened 200 years ago with the eyes of today. You know, standards are not the same, you know, rights were not the same. And even how I was saying things 20, 30 years ago was not a problem, like, you know. And so always, you know, Napoleon always had that thing that everybody in the world, they really worship, like, not Napoleon. Like, you go to China, they're crazy of him. You go to Russia, they're crazy of him. Except in the UK, you know, I think for good reasons.
Right.
But in France, there was always that thing that people were passionate about him. But also, I think Napoleon scared some French people because they were like, no, when Napoleon was the emperor, we didn't have so much rights, etc. So there were very this socialistic thing, you know, of the left in France. But I think people really, really recognize a genius in him and recognize that a lot of people are interested into French history because of Napoleon, you know. And when you go to Middle East and you see what Napoleon brought, by example, to Egypt and how much he has developed Egypt at that time, I think it's remarkable. And so the French people, I think they really admire Napoleon, and they should really admire him, and they should really thank him. And of course, you know, as in everything, you know, internet also helped to read more and to have more information accessible. And I'm thinking, you know, of the, by example, the Jewish community, they started to see that Napoleon actually was the first politician of chief of the country to give citizenship to the Jews in France, you know, because before they were not considered as citizen. Then people are like, oh, let me read more about Napoleon. And the same with the Freemasons. And you have so many streets, by the way, in France that are connected to Napoleon, like Avenue d'Iéna, Avenue Kléber. You have so many streets that are connected, Rivoli, Rue de Rivoli, you have that are connected to the Napoleonic history, that sooner or later you go back to him. But he's definitely a pride and joy in France. And in the festival that I created is to actually bring knowledge also to people, but also not to be ashamed of not knowing something. Like, if you don't know, it's okay. You can ask any questions. There's no shame. So I wanted to break that old routine of 3 hours conferences. Like, I make it short, 1 hour with 15 minutes Q&A, but very funny. I say, how is everyone feeling today? You know, like, very open, and to make it very contemporary. And I love that students are coming. And sorry, I went away from your question, but that's really what I appreciate, how Napoleon can bring people together.
It's amazing. There's so many sides to his character and so many different elements of his career. You can almost look at him from any angle and see something new.
But actually, let me ask you this, Everett. What brought you to like Napoleon? I would love to know that.
Well, for me, the passion for Napoleon started when I was very young. I was 4 years old. I was in Paris, and my father took me to the Museum of the French Army. You know, at 4 years old, I was already really interested in history, and I had a big imagination. And it really, you know, being in that museum, coming from, you know, being a four-year-old American kid, I knew almost nothing about the Revolution or Napoleon. And so all of a sudden, you know, hearing that story for the first time, my father helping me, because, you know, of course, everything's in French at the museum. But, you know, he's explaining to me that, you know, these you know, regular common men, and they rose up through the ranks of the army, and they defeated these kings and emperors and dukes and duchesses. And, you know, and then, you know, of course, Napoleon himself at the center of everything. And I was just transfixed by this story. And then, of course, at the end, we went to the tomb, and we were actually in the presence of Napoleon. And it just captured my imagination. And I've, you know, ever since then, when I was really little, on Halloween, you know, they want to be ghosts or cowboys or pirates or whatever. I wanted to be Napoleon. And my grandmother made me a little Napoleon outfit. And there's photos of me, you know, when I'm, 7, 8 years old, dressed up as Napoleon on Halloween. So it had always been, you know, more of a hobby than anything else. And finally, you know, I got interested in history podcasts, and I thought, you know, there was a few out there about Napoleon, but they were pretty short. And I thought, you know, this is such a good story. You could spend years telling it. And, so finally I went ahead and did it. And, I was not imagining it would become what it's become. I still wake up every day and I'm amazed that it seems to have taken on a life of its own. And I'm really grateful to all the listeners that have helped make that happen. It's really wonderful to be able to, well, you know what it's like to be able to have your job and your passion be the same thing. It's a great feeling.
Wow. No, and thank you for doing this. And thank you for doing this, this podcast. And that's why I also want, I wanted to let you know that I would like to honor you at the Festival Napoleon, the next one, which is coming up on February 14 and 15. We have I created Le Prix Napoleon, the Napoleon Award Prize, if you translate it. And we gave it to, I gave it to all the major Napoleon masters like Jean Tullard, Thierry Lenz, David Chantrane, all the biggest one, Pierre Branda, you know, like really the people from the foundation, Napoleon, like really all the masters. And I believe people like you also should be awarded. So I would like to award you for your wonderful contribution in that medium, which is the podcast medium, your passion of Napoleon and bringing the Napoleonic history to so many audience members.
Well, thank you very much. It's very generous. You know, I never started this thing with the anticipation of it being recognized by anyone. So to be in that kind of company, it's really humbling. So thank you very much.
Of course, my friend, of course.
So perfect segue there. We've mentioned several times this festival that you do. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's also to talk about, to leave nothing unsaid, you know. By example, I had the Prince Murat, you know, so I bring VIPs, the Prince Murat, who is the grandson of the Prince Murat, who we know, you know, was the most loyal companion of Napoleon. And I had his heir, who is a very big fan of history, does all the podcasts in France. He received the Napoleon Prize and gave a conference about his ancestor. And there was always that thing. I said, you know, every time I hear about Murat, I hear he was a traitor, that he betrayed Napoleon at the end. What do you think? You know? And it was like, no, but he can be seen like this, etc. So we really go into that. By example, we did one conference about Napoleon in Egypt with Ahmed Youssef, who is the biggest historian of Egypt, specialized into the Napoleon, the campaign of Napoleon. And I would ask him, do you think Napoleon, his campaign was a good thing for Egypt? And do you think Egyptians are mad at him or happy about him? You know, these kind of things that we would talk about. And of course, important movie screenings. Like we're going to do, I was supposed to do it for this edition, but I don't have time, unfortunately. We do it for the next edition. I was supposed to screen the Abel Gance film. Every year we screen new films, but I mean, the Abel Gance is 8 hours, you know, so we have to do different times so that everybody, you know, can be accommodated, etc. So it's not easy to schedule it. But yeah, so we try to show different things. And also along the way, you meet amazing people. Like I met this extraordinary guy named Michael Kazadi, who is passionate about Napoleon and knows so much about him. And he is African and he's from Congo, you know. And so he started to bring Napoleon in Africa and he created streets called Napoleon, Rue Napoleon, you know, in Africa. And I believe that's amazing, you know. So he's creating a Napoleonic community and he's reminding to people, you know, that Napoleon had some black generals, like some high ranks generals who were black. And I believe that was the first time in history, sadly, of course, not precise, but that was a time, you know, that this happened was, I believe, because Napoleon, that was his thing. He didn't care what was your religion, where you're from, who you are, who are your parents, because back in the days, it was all about which family you're from. He cared about what we call meritocracy. And he said, we want to see the best of you and we will reward the best. That's why he created what you guys have in the U.S., the Medal of Honor. You know, first we have the Legion d'Honneur, you know, because he wanted to reward people who have accomplished things better than other citizens. You know, so he wanted really to create very an army, you know, in the intellectual sense of the term. An army of big people, you know, but he was also someone who would bring people, because don't forget, he arrives right after the revolution where all the priests were gone because everything that had to do with religion was chased away. All the Freemasons were chased away. Jews were chased away. So there was not a lot of people left, you know, and everybody hating each other, the terror, everybody. I mean, it was a terrible climax. And he understands that. And he starts to bring also all the nobles, all the rich people who escaped to England, as a matter of fact. He brought them back to France because he wanted to create a strong, unified empire. And I believe that was a beautiful thing. So in the festival, really, you know, we have this year a lecture of a play called Sultan Bonaparte, where is the General Bonaparte who is in Egypt. We have a premiere of a movie about Serge Lama, who has played Napoleon in Paris, and he created the musical Napoleon, which had 1.5 million people who went to see it in the 80s. In Paris, it was a big thing. We have a conference about Napoleon and the Freemasons. And this is by all the biggest names, like Pierre Mollier, who is the number one historian about Freemasonry. We have a conference with Michael Kazadi about Napoleon and Africa, because there's a lot of beautiful links. And we have Napoleon Prize. We have a conference of someone who is going to talk to us about the heritage of Napoleon in the contemporary politics. Because he created the civil code, he created the basics of the civilization, you know, an organized way of having the civilization. So for all of that, you know, we would just say, thank you, Napoleon, you know, but we don't say Napoleon was good, Napoleon was bad. We say, this is what he did, and this is history. And you shouldn't judge history, because first, there's nothing you can do. You cannot go back and change things, but really, to learn about it, you know, to learn about it and how to make a better future. And that's what history is here with us, you know.
You've got academics, culture, film, theater. That's what interests me so much about this. You know, you've got all these different approaches all interacting. If people want to get involved with this, obviously, if they're in Paris, they can buy tickets. Tell people how they can do that.
Absolutely. Well, they can go on the website, festivalnapoleon.com. Very easy, festivalnapoleon.com. And they can get in touch with me. There is a contact form, etc. And of course, I welcome American people to come one day to tell me your story or reach out to me to tell me your story. Like, I reach out to Everett, as a matter of fact, because I was such a fan of his podcast. It's okay. Today's the time. But, you know, whoever you are, if you're passionate about Napoleon and you want to tell me about your story or you created a group and something, you know, you can reach out. And it's really about bringing people together. And also created a film competition that rewards films or filmmakers that create a movie that has to do with Napoleon somehow, you know. So that is really beautiful. It can be screenplays or it can be books also. So we award also people that way because it's also a way to keep, you know, the culture out. And I love that what you said about the festival, and it's really what it is. It's not just academic, it's not just culture, it's not just, you know, theater, it's not just films, it's not just contemporary, it's not just entertaining, you know, or fun. It's a mix of all of that, you know. So that's why in the audience you have the history teacher, you have a 20-year-old girl, you have someone like my father, you have someone like myself. And I assure you that when you come to see a conference, you leave, lifted also. Almost like when you saw a show, you know, and there is food, there is a food reception also. And also we celebrate the French history, and you don't have to be French to celebrate the French history. I would tell you that. The same way you don't have to be Americans to love cheeseburger. Believe me, I love cheeseburger more than I should, you know.
That's something that has amazed me doing this show is that, you know, there are people, I mean, you mentioned a guy in the Congo, and that's not surprising to me at all. There's people all over the world who, you know, come from every race, every religion, every political inclination, who something about this story appeals to them. There's a lot of really passionate people out there all over.
But you know, there is something very interesting is that not a long time ago, there is a someone who reached out who identifies as a transgender person and who told me, you know, it's funny. So we spoke about a theater project for a role, etc. And that person mentioned that, you know, interesting enough, Napoleon inspired that person because told him, you can be who you are and there's always a path for you and there's always a place for you. So, you know, You get feedback of Napoleon from so many different people you would never expect to. And that's what I'm happy about, you know. And I believe if Napoleon was here today, I think he would, you know, embrace everybody. You know, I think that's what he would do, you know.
All right. So before we go, February 14th and 15th, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And the website?
Is festivalnapoleon.com.
All right. Well, it's been a pleasure. Unless there's something you'd like to add, I think we reached a natural endpoint here, haven't we?
Well, I would just add one thing, Everett, is again, I want to thank you and I want to encourage you to please, please, please continue. How many shows have you done so far?
I'm working on number 133 right now.
Wow. Well, listen, I wish you at least 133 more. Because
Thank you.
And really, I don't know what would be the future of all these podcasts and anything, but I really, really hope that this will stay, you know, even in 100 years, and so people can listen to it and know your passion for French history and for Napoleon particularly. I want you to know that as passionate of Napoleon, and of course I'm a nobody, but you know, as a passionate of Napoleon and as someone who has dig really into his life, I think Napoleon would be really, really, really happy to meet you and to know that there is someone like you who is carrying his legacy. So I want to thank you. And of course, I want to invite everybody, you know, in history is amazing. You never stop to learn from it. And, you know, all the YouTube, you know, if you shy to open a book, you know, you can go on YouTube and you can watch tons of these documentaries that are very well done, and listen to Everett shows. And this is really, really a beautiful community, and you will find the Napoleon that is in you, you know, because we all have we all Napoleons, you know, because there's all in all of us a desire to grow and to be a leader, you know. And Napoleon always said a phrase: if you take an army of lions that are conducted by a dog, the lions, they will fight like dogs. But if you take an army of dogs conducted by a lion, then the dogs will fight like lions, you know. So that's something that always, you know, inspired me from him, is that there is room for everybody, no matter who you are, no matter where you're from. There is always an opportunity for you. And as he always said, you know, like upward and forward, you know, and that and that's where we go. And that's what I think when I listen to your great podcast, Everett, really.
Well, thank you very much. You've been a very gracious guest. Absolutely. Couldn't have asked for a better interview. And yeah, everybody, please go check out this festival. It's there's a lot of interesting stuff. And I think if you like this show, you will really enjoy it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Everett.
Thank you.
I hope you guys found that interesting. And just to reiterate what I said in the interview, this show would not be what it is without you listening. Yes, I'm the one putting in the work, but without you guys tuning in every month, spreading the word, and contributing financially, this project would have ended a long time ago. Thank you. Next up, we've got something from Will Clark of Gray History. I feel duty-bound to inform you this is technically an ad. We don't normally do built-in ads like this, but I think this is a special case. Will is offering tours to France, geared towards the history of the Revolution. So this is a chance to actually go and see some of the places we talked about in the early episodes of the show. I think it's a good opportunity to delve more deeply into the history of this period, and I'm sure at least a few of you will want to take advantage, which is why I chose to include it. Obviously, something like a tour is time-sensitive. It will take place in May of 2026, so there are deadlines approaching. Keep that in mind as you make your decision. Again, that's May of 2026. Anyway, enough from me. Here's Will.
Have you ever wanted to experience Napoleonic history where it actually happened? Well, here's your chance. I'm Will Clark, host of Grey History, The French Revolution, and I'm leading an 8-day small group tour across Paris and the Loire Valley. Here's what makes this tour different. But if you can't wait, you can check out the full tour at greyhistory.com/Napoleon. Now, I've crafted this tour for fellow history lovers who want more than a superficial checklist. Across 8 days, we'll immerse ourselves in the key sites with expert guides, and I'm also arranging us exclusive access to areas usually closed to the public. Moreover, the tour is strictly capped at 20 people, so it stays nice and personal as we explore these tremendous eras. For the first 5 nights, we're based in Paris, starting with a full day at Versailles. Of course, we'll see the palace and the gardens, but we'll also visit the tennis court, the cradle of the French Revolution. On day 2, we'll retrace July 1789 through Paris towards the former Bastille. As we follow rumours and unrest, we'll visit landmarks like the Palais Royal and the Hôtel de Ville, along with a few hidden gems that too many overlook. In the days that follow, we'll also stand inside Marie Antoinette's prison cell and visit the amazing Pantheon, where greats like Voltaire and Rousseau are laid to rest. Critically, Day 5 is about Napoleonic Paris, beginning at the Louvre with customized guided tours in ultra-small groups of no more than six. After these personalized tours, we'll then head to the Arc de Triomphe and even Napoleon's tomb. After Paris, we'll continue for two nights in the Loire Valley, based in Tours. From grand chateaus like Chambord to stunning royal towns, we'll explore the beauty and grandeur of France without losing the history. Not only will we indulge in tons of royal history, but there's plenty to uncover from the Revolutionary, Napoleonic, and Restoration eras. So, from Marie Antoinette's prison cell to Napoleon's tomb, from Versailles to the Loire chateaus, this is your opportunity to experience French history where it actually happened. Two quick points. Firstly, solo travellers are more than welcome, and plenty have already decided to join us. You can choose to share a room with someone of the same sex, or there is a private room option as well. Secondly, places are strictly capped at 20 people. That cap is essential for keeping the experience personal and for allowing exclusive access to areas usually closed to the public. As a result, remaining places are extremely limited, so if you'd like to come, I'd recommend securing your spot as soon as possible. Again, for the full itinerary and dates, go to greyhistory.com/Napoleon and use the discount code Napoleon for $100 off. There is also a Paris-only version of the tour for those who have limited time off work. I look forward to seeing you in France, and feel free to reach out with any questions. Once again, that's greyhistory.com/Napoleon with a coupon code Napoleon.